Good afternoon, everybody. Hopefully you are all doing well. Hopefully you enjoyed yesterday's podcast. I saw my audio feed. Somebody had went through the pretty much the entire history of the podcast and downloaded like every single episode. So thank you to whoever that was. I see I got quite a few new subscribers from the show with the great DJ Thermal Detonator yesterday, or Nelson Martins, now a great friend of mine. And, you know, we'll definitely be doing more work together in the future. So if you're a new listener here, welcome. I appreciate you being here and spending your time with me. You know, you could be anywhere in the world, but you're here listening to me blather on live. So obviously, thank you guys for that. The Boy Who Cried Wolf. I wanted to talk about this for a while now, and I wasn't going to do a podcast tonight. There's a power outage here, so it was a little bit sketchy at first, but I decided I should hop on here and kind of rant rave a little bit about it, because it's the new hotness right now, if you will. And not a lot of people are talking about the specific angle that I'm going to be talking about it tonight. So anyways, on your way in here, please make sure you hit the like, make sure you're subscribed and all that good stuff. Hit the links below where you could find the great Tiger Fitness supplements, the ones that I use and wholeheartedly endorse. I just got a big order of Outright bars. I think I got 3 box Outright bars, some pre-workout, their Vasky, and the Ruckus, which I never used before, but I like quite a bit. I just used it this past Sunday, which my deadlifting day. And obviously the great Fox & Sons coffee, where you can get the best coffee ever. If you drink that before a workout or cardio, it'll increase your gains by 9,000 times. I'm being slightly facetious, but no, seriously, go to Fox & Sons Coffee and use code Kyle at checkout. So we're going to talk about The Boy Who Cried Wolf. I'm going to read the story and we're going to go over the angle that I'm coming at it from and why I chose that specifically today. So one more time, hit the like, subscribe, all that good stuff. And super chats are always, always, always appreciated. So without further ado, let's go. What is up, everybody? My name is Kyle Matovic. I am the host of the In Liberty and Health podcast, where we talk all things liberty, health and wellness, and beyond. My hope is to encourage and spread the message of liberty and physical and mental well-being. I hope you enjoy all the topics we talk about with our guests. We're on all major streaming platforms, so please sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Man, I'm doing as good as anyone can do getting buried by his 13-year-old son on leg day.
I'm not going to apologize for not being on this podcast because I got to go see Metallica. So if that's a problem, kiss my ass.
Okay? I am. All right.
All right. Well, welcome back one more time, everybody. The Boy Who Cried Wolf. There once was a shepherd boy who was bored as he sat on the hillside watching the village sheep. To amuse himself, he took great breath and sang out, "Wolf, wolf, the wolf is chasing the sheep." The villagers came running up the hill to help the boy drive the wolf away. But when they arrived at the top of the hill, they found no wolf. The boy laughed at the sight of their angry faces. "Don't cry wolf, shepherd boy," said the villagers, "when there's no wolf." They went grumbling back down the hill. Later, the boy sang out again, "Wolf, wolf, the wolf is chasing the sheep." His night alight, he watched villagers run up the hill to help him drive the wolf away. When the villagers saw no wolf, they sternly said, "Save your frightened song for when there's really something wrong. Don't cry wolf when there is no wolf." But the boy grinned and watched him go grumbling down the hill once more. Later, he saw a real wolf prowling about his flock. Alarmed, he leaped to his feet and sang loudly as he could, "Wolf, wolf." But the villagers thought he was trying to fool them again, so they didn't come. At sunset, everyone wondered why the shepherd's boy hadn't returned to the village with their sheep. They went uphill to find the boy. They found him weeping. "There really was a wolf there. The flock has scattered," I cried out. "Wolf, why didn't you come?" An old man tried to comfort the boy as they walked back to the village. "We'll help you look for the lost sheep in the morning," he said, putting his arm around the youth. "Nobody believes a liar, even when he is telling the truth." That will be important as we go through today's show, because we're going to see what exactly is going on here. Irvin, good to see you. Hopefully you enjoyed yesterday's show. I saw you were in there in the chat quite a bit, pretty active. Yes, the ADL is full of shit. I hope you like the thumbnail, and we're gonna go into that a little bit today. But yeah, I felt like that story was pertinent because it pertains to a lot of the ways that we use language today, specific words, specific sayings. One thing that comes to mind is the word racist and the 1940s Germans who militarily were trying to take over parts of Eastern Europe. Why does this matter? Because the way that we use language and the way that we talk about things will shape our perceptions and shape our reality and the way that we have conversations. And furthermore, it will shape the way that we think. When you call everybody right of center a Nazi, a racist, a bigot, a homophobe, whatever, as we've seen, those words eventually lose meaning. People no longer listen to you. People no longer take you seriously. And when there are actual racists, Nazis, bigots, or whatever, which there really aren't. I really can't think of any who have any serious popularity or any serious influence over anybody. We need to be able to call those people out and speak about them truthfully and honestly and expose them for what they are. If what they are is as bad as we're saying it is, we should reserve those insults, those words, for the very, very worst of cases. But as we see, people are so careless with language and the way that they talk about these things that now these words have no such meaning. So what am I going to get into today? Anti-Semitism. And I know this throws up red flags for everybody as soon as you start talking about that special group of people, the you know, the Jewish group from Israel or that country, because there are a lot of conspiracies, and anytime you single out one specific group, people just lose their minds. I'm not going there. This isn't the JQ podcast, as everybody knows. I like to make jokes about it, but I don't know how far that goes, what validity is there is to that, what truth there is. This isn't the podcast where we're going to discuss the JQ. Pete Quinones, I know, has a couple shows on that. I've listened to some of them. I don't know if he ever completed that series, but it was interesting to say the least. I can't say I really gained any insight that seemed to get to it. And maybe I just didn't listen, you know, well enough or close enough. So once again, it's neither here nor there. But anti-Semitism, as it's kind of come up a lot today, we see these college protesters who are being labeled anti-Semitic for cheering or standing in solidarity with Palestinians. Are there some legit anti-Semites in those rallies? I'm going to be honest. I highly doubt it. There's maybe a handful. But the one thing that drove me absolutely insane, and I should have pulled this up, you know, maybe I will while I'm talking here, was the fact that we were able to somehow get the National Guard onto college campuses very, very, very fast for these protesters who are getting out of out of hand and acting crazy. But for some reason, for the mostly peaceful protests in 2020, and you guys know exactly what I'm talking about, we could never find the National Guard for those protests, which seems to me patently insane. You can go tamp down on protests because they're protesting Israel. But when cities are burning and people's, livelihoods, businesses are being absolutely just demolished, we could never seem to find the National Guard for that. We were too scared to send them in for that. But college kids on campuses waving flags, standing in solidarity with Palestinians. And yeah, there might be some anti-Semites. I'm going to be honest, I doubt it. We can crack down on them. But when people's businesses and private property is being destroyed, nowhere to be found. That is the most outrageous shit in the world to me. Where we want to talk about tough on crime, it's not a crime to protest a foreign government. If we want to be tough on crime, we should be cracking down on people who's destroying private property, which is exactly what these protesters in 2020 were doing. I'm watching whilst shitting. Also, Austin is gay as fuck. Yeah. I mean, I've never been there. I would love to go, just say I've been there and maybe go to some other place in Texas. But anyways, we're hearing all about these, you know, anti-Semitic incidences all over the place. Okay, here, let me share this. So they say pro-Hamas idiots at UT also discover what happens when you try to pull Columbia in Texas. So as we could see, there's tons of police, military all over here stopping the protests. I mean, it's impressive that they were able to assemble that many people, right? Oh, no, I didn't even bring this up. Okay. Sorry. Starting from the beginning. Okay. I screwed up. But anyways, here you can see they have military rolling out, police, all these people rolling out, clamping down on, you know, the anti-Israel protests. And they have a lot of people. Well-equipped people, too. So my quote tweet was, you know what's embarrassing? They'll crack down on some rowdy students at a college campus, but where was a single governor in the U.S. that was willing to do this in 2020 when cities burned to the ground? Think about that for a minute. It is infuriating, to say the least, to think about all the destruction and havoc wreaked upon people because of St. Floyd and the Summer of Love and all that stuff, right? But kids get carried away about being pro-Palestine, and all of a sudden we can crack down on them. It's don't think about it too long, you'll just get angry. So anyways, I want to talk about anti-Semitism and why this is so important, because we're seeing a lot of anti-BDS laws, hate speech laws for a certain group of people, which they're actually going further than Democrats did, right? I mean, under the Biden administration, no less. So Republican governors are essentially seeding the ground to make illegal the way that you talk about Israel or Jewish people as a whole. I'm sure there were probably some radical Democrats or leftists that did this at one point. And obviously that should be condemned completely. And I'm not in favor of any of this race-based group, you know, identity politics bullshit. It's all ridiculous to me. But Republicans are like the most woke people in the world when it comes to Jewish people. I don't get it. Conrail, they didn't do any of this with Antifa or BLM. That's exactly what I was talking about. This is why I've been stressing the cultural Marxism is not in total control and is used for chaos to further us towards fascism rather than communism, or as in control, I should say. Yeah. So let's read the definition of anti-Semitism from the ADL's website. And I hope you guys like my thumbnail here. I thought it was pretty good. So let me zoom in a little bit on that. Published in February 4th of 2017. I apologize. The belief or behavior hostile towards Jews because they are Jewish. It may take the form of religious teachings that proclaim the inferiority of Jews, for instance, or political efforts to isolate, oppress, or otherwise injure them. It may also include prejudice or stereotype views about Jews. So that actually is a somewhat objective definition of what anti-Semitism is. I actually believe that it's reasonable to say that if you are acting in negative ways towards a specific group, then that is bigotry, racism, or whatever. Is that to say that all forms of racism and bigotry are bad? Well, I mean, I guess you should always judge people as individuals, but we can notice patterns within groups and the way that certain groups may act. Is that indicative of every single individual inside that group? No. But we need to be able to talk about groups and people as a whole while separating individuals within that group. So I just wanted to start off with that and why it's so important, because as we'll read in this next tab here, there are 38 states in the United States that have anti-BDS laws, Okay, well, I should have had this up. I'll read this, but to date, 38 states have adopted laws, executive orders, or resolutions designed to discourage boycotts against Israel. Separately, the U.S. Congress has considered anti-boycott legislation in reaction to the BDS movement. The Senate passed S-1, which contained anti-boycott provisions, on January 28, 2019, by a vote of 74-19. The House passed a resolution condemning the boycott of Israel on July 24, 2019, with a vote of 398-17. No federal law was adopted in May of 2023. Senators Marco Rubio, Bill Cassidy, Mike Braun, Rick Scott, Bill Hagerty, Steve Daines reintroduced the Combating BDS Act in May of 2023. The main objection to such laws is that they might violate the First Amendment. The Supreme Court, however, effectively rejected this argument when it refused to hear a challenge to an appeals court ruling that the anti-boycott laws in Arkansas was not unconstitutional. Other challenges to state laws have been dismissed by appeals courts. States are listed below by the date they adopted anti-BDS measurements. So this is from the Jewish Virtual Library, so that way this is, you know, straight from the horse's mouth. Once again, I'm not saying that all Jewish people are spoken for here. I'm not saying that Israel is all speaks for all Jewish people or anything like that. I'm just going to basically source material on some of this stuff to try and give you guys the most accurate information that I can. And I can't stress this enough because I know people are going to be sounding off when they hear this, that, oh, you're just an anti-Semite, or, oh, you just think it's all the Jews, the Jews, the Jews, the Jews. It's not quite that, but we need to be able to talk about this stuff because this is being pushed and passed. I mean, this does violate the First Amendment rights, your freedom to speak. And, as Jordan Peterson has pointed out, your freedom to think, really, because when you talk to people about these issues, you study their body language and you're trying to figure out things. Like right now, as I speak in this podcast, I'm thinking about what I want to say next and how I want to convey what I'm trying to speak about next. Anyways, this really is an attack on thought and speech and your right to, you know, protest a foreign government of all things. And the thing I always like to use when talking about this is, think about if anybody tried to put forth this kind of bill for China. If they were trying to censor speech that spoke out against China, imagine how Republicans would lose their goddamn minds if you're trying to protect speech, or basically protect, or, you know, put in laws that would make speech illegal that spoke out against China. People would lose their minds, rightfully so. So the 38 states that have anti-BDS laws are Tennessee, South Carolina, Illinois, Alabama, Colorado, Indiana, Florida, Virginia, Arizona, Georgia, Iowa, New York, Rhode Island, New Jersey, California, Pennsylvania. I actually put in 2 days before I turned 26. Sorry. Ohio, Michigan, Arkansas, Texas, Minnesota, Nevada, Kansas, North Carolina, Maryland, Wisconsin, Louisiana, Mississippi, Kentucky, South Dakota, Oklahoma, Missouri, Utah, Idaho, West Virginia, North Dakota, New Hampshire, Alaska. So they have all their sources listed below here. As I kind of said, I wanted to get this to you guys straight from the horse's mouth, so that way we kind of talk about this a little bit honestly, and so that way you guys know I'm not bullshitting you. There are 38 states in the United States where you cannot boycott the state of Israel. We're going to get into the laws that South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem had passed and talk about that a little bit here in a second. Let me run a ad real quick and we will just get right back into it.
I am stoked to tell you guys about the show's new sponsor. I am now working with MTS Nutrition, which is a brand that I've believed in for a very long time, and they run awesome cells and they have awesome products. So I want to tell you about their amazing protein powder, which you're going to ask me how many pounds I have of the protein powder, and the answer is all of them. So here I got red velvet cake, 25 grams of protein, and they have the amino acids and everything on there, 59 servings. Peanut butter fluff, fluffer nutter, 26 grams of protein. And then also the chocolate chip cookie, which literally has real pieces of chocolate chip cookie in there. So 27 grams of protein, 180. As I've talked about on the show, getting your protein in is very, very important. So make sure you hit that link below and purchase your protein powder through MTS Nutrition. Boom!
All right. So I feel like this stuff is just so important because it's really not being talked about. I see Anomaly, who I've been trying to get on the show. He liked a tweet when I said he should come on. He's been banging the gong about it. And Matt Walsh, to his credit, which, I mean, it kind of takes balls to go out there and speak out against your employer on, you know, a topic such as this, because right now, you know, Israel is the hot topic. And right now, Republicans are really, I don't know if you would say it's run to the right of Joe Biden on this, but they're clamping down on their own constituents' freedom. When a Democrat's in charge, you would think you would want to, as a politician, embolden your base and incentivize the people who support you to go out and vote for you. And you would try to give them more freedom while Democrats in charge, so that way they like you more and they're more incentivized to vote for you. But instead, they're passing anti-BDS laws. Governor Abbott was the one who's really pushing for the anti-BDS stuff and, you know, the hate speech laws. And Kristi Noem did too, which we're going to get into that here in a minute. But let me keep up with this. Saying that one can't criticize Zionism, which is not purely a Jewish idea, is like saying you can't criticize the actual radical Islamists like Al-Qaeda or ISIS. Yeah, and we should be able to openly and honestly talk about any ideas, people, or anything, right? There should be nothing off limits for people. But it's just very, very strange to me that we have this one group that we can't say anything about. And yeah, like, people get pretty radioactive when you start talking about, you know, black people as a whole, understandably so, because identity politics really does just radiate, and it's not a good look for anybody. And when you target one group specifically, people really do get that whole Holocaust vibes where they think, oh, you're gonna, you know, go the 1940s Austrian painter on everybody and try to, you know, gas a bunch of people or something like that. Like, that's what people sometimes get the image of when you start talking about some of the stuff. And hopefully I've done at least a decent enough job to try and separate myself from the crazies that are kind of talking about this kind of stuff. So I wanted to read this, the law that Kristi Noem had passed in South Dakota, which, for those wondering, and I'm sure it's no surprise, I'm probably just, if Mike Rechtenwald or Josh Smith are not the Libertarian Party nominee, I probably just won't vote. Like, I understand people say, oh, Trump's not as bad as Biden, but, like, I really don't see a strong case for that. I agree to a very, very slight degree, but, like, at this point, when Trump's cheering on the Ukraine aid, you know, through Mike Johnson, and all the Republicans are just eating it up, saying that it was Mike Johnson that forced him to pass it. And then Lindsey Graham goes out and literally says that, like, oh yeah, this bill would have never passed without Trump. I just, like, you guys are playing yourselves. There's so many people that are still saying, oh, this war would have never happened under Trump, or, you know, the aid would have never passed. Like, none of this would have happened under Trump. I don't want to get on that too much. That's a whole nother tangent. I'm going to be talking about that next week. I have Brad Pierce coming back on. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. But let me read the what's enshrined into law in South Dakota here. So from this account called Kittler, here's a list of the IHRA of anti-Semitic offenses that have been codified into law by South Dakota. So these are incredibly, incredibly vague as we go through these. Like, you guys are going to be surprised at some of the stuff that is now illegal to say in South Dakota. accusing Jewish citizens of being more loyal to Israel or to alleged priorities of Jews worldwide than to the interests of their own nations. How do you prove that? How, like, if you just say that, does that mean you get arrested? Like, I think it's reasonable to say that people have loyalty to their nation because, you know, people like people who look like them. They tend to identify with the country they're born in. And I don't always think that that's necessarily for the worst, but I do have a problem with that when you're doing that at the expense of American taxpayers. Denying Jewish people their right to self-determination by claiming that the existence of a state of Israel is a racist endeavor. I mean, in a way, you could argue that any country that seeks to be explicitly one race is racist because they're maybe not racist. Racist would, my understanding of the definition of racism is that racism is saying that one race is inferior to another. But you could definitely say that the idea of an ethnostate is inherently bigoted. Do I think that's inherently bad? No, I don't. But you could make that argument and say that it's bigoted because you are excluding all other groups. If that's what you want to do, okay, that's, you know, it's your state. I don't have any control over any governments. applying double standards by requiring of it a behavior not expected or demanded of any other democratic nation. I mean, all countries are a little bit different, of different size, population, and many, many, many other things. So I don't think it's reasonable to have one standard for all countries worldwide. I think it's okay to have one moral standard in most things, in fact, probably in all things. But to say that all countries should operate on the same standard is a little bit different because, you know, countries are going to have different GDP, different populations, different capabilities. There's a lot of nuance in this. Using the symbols and images associated with classic anti-Semitism, claims of Jews killing Jesus, or blood libel to characterize Israel or Israelis. Drawing comparisons of contemporary Israeli policy to that of the Nazis. So if you say that Israel airbombing hospitals in Gaza is similar to that of what the Nazis did to Jews in Poland, that's illegal. But it's factually true to say that they may be doing some things that the Nazis did indeed do back in the day. Am I the historian to ask about that? No, but to say that Israel is taking some of the same actions that the Nazis in the 1940s Germany did, that is a true statement. I'm sure you could find, you know, plenty of different situations where that's the case. Holding Jews collectively responsible for the actions of the state of Israel. Do I think that's wrong to do personally? Yes, but should it be illegal? No. And what does it mean, holding Jews collectively responsible? Like, you guys see how just open to interpretation this language is when it comes to defining and trying to nail down anti-Semitism. Calling for aiding or justifying the killing or harming of Jews in the name of a radical ideology or an extremist view of religion. And this one is the real kicker here. So this just, as I said, it's so vague. Making mendacious, dehumanizing, demonizing, or stereotypical allegations about Jews such as or the power of Jews as a collective, such as especially but not exclusively. Like, that is a whole bunch of just jibber-jabber, gargle. The myth about a world Jewish conspiracy or of Jews controlling the media, economy, government, or other societal institutions. Okay, well, and this is a fact. A Jewish rabbi owns Pornhub. That's a societal institution, I guess. It's a business of some sort. I'm sure there's Jewish people that own banks, that own media companies. I mean, this is where people start going into the whole JQ direction, right? If just talking about that or pointing out the fact that there may be some Jews that control some, you know, businesses, that's illegal. If we point out that some Asians or Black people may own certain businesses, is that a racist endeavor? No. I mean, just stating an objective truth isn't inherently bad. I mean, it's ridiculous. You don't need to have a Belzitz, a far worse death camp than Auschwitz in terms of survivors, to be committing genocide or Holocaust-like event. Well, we talked about this a little bit. Oh, God, when was that? I want to say, who was I talking to about this? I don't know. It was a conversation I had recently where we were kind of going on about the whole definition of genocide. Oh, actually, I think it was Connor and I on our show a couple weeks ago where we were kind of running through the definition of genocide. Yeah, so denying the fact, scope, mechanisms, gas chambers, or intentionality of the genocide of the Jewish people at the hands of the National Socialist Germany and its supporters and accomplices during World War II, the Holocaust. Once again, I'm not a historian here, and I really don't know that much about the Holocaust other than, you know, the narrative that we were fed in public schools. Do I believe 100% of that? I guess. I don't, like, know of, you know, any counterfactuals off the top of my head. It's not something that I've studied. It's just out of scope for me. But if you find evidence that contradicts the fact, scope, or mechanisms of anything like that, and maybe there's a little bit more nuance to some of that information. I'm not saying there is. I don't know. But does that mean you're a, you know, can you be arrested for that? If you read this law, apparently that's what it means. Accusing Jews as a people or Israel as a state of inventing or exaggerating the Holocaust. Could they do that? I don't know. Is there some truth to that? I don't know. There's so much room for interpretation when it comes to this kind of shit. And that's why we really got to be careful, and we really should not be passing laws like this, because the question is, who determines that? What are the punishments? How are you going to enforce it? And, you know, like, where does all this start and stop? I don't know. But I mean, it's ugly, because if just criticizing Jewish people is illegal, then we have a problem. If just asking questions about the way that Jewish people may go about the world is illegal, then, like, you know, what's next? You'll get thrown in jail for questioning support of Israel? Then, I mean, like, this podcast alone is illegal in certain states for the way I've questioned, you know, the state of Israel. The tweets I've sent out are illegal in certain states because of the state of Israel, all for a foreign country. And we're supposed to be worried about China or Russia or South America. Give me a fucking break. And then some people want to say, like, Iran or something like that. You guys serious? So I wanted to get that out there. It's absolutely insane to me that this stuff is going around and getting passed and just nobody's talking about it. And especially, like, the right, after the last decade, for, you know, reasonably raising concerns about cancel culture. They were absolutely right to fucking lose their goddamn minds about cancel culture, because it's absolutely wrong to be firing people over the mob, right? We shouldn't be doing that at all. But where are they now? Where are they as their own constituency is being oppressed? Not in, like, the Marxist term of being oppressed, where, you know, someone hurt your feelings and now you're being oppressed. They're literally making laws that make it illegal to criticize a foreign nation. This is what Republicans are doing. And Democrats are obviously doing it too. I mean, fucking Pennsylvania's always been blue. A lot of these countries up here, or countries, states have been blue, and they're passing the same fucking laws. But Republicans are the ones that have been crying out about free speech for the last fucking decade. And they're absolutely right to. And now they're turning around and playing this shit? Unacceptable. But yeah, I think that's all I got today. Next week, I got Brad Pierce coming on. I might do a Sunday show. We'll see. Thinking about it. But yeah, if you guys don't got anything else, super chats or anything like that, I appreciate everybody hanging out. I never plug my band on here, and I should. Make sure you go check out A Common Crown. We will be headlining the VFW at the Millville Music Festival. So if you're in the southwestern Pennsylvania area, make sure you come check us out there. Read this comment real quick. The right was never against cancel culture. They've done it in similar ways back in the day. They are contesting who has the power. Yeah, exactly. It's not about whether there's a boot or not. It's about whose boot it is and who's wearing the boot. So yeah, make sure you guys go check that stuff out. 5 till midnight on Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern time. It's always a good time. Come get a laugh. We shoot the shit about similar topics I talk about on here, and we just have a good time in general with Adam, who is who commented a little bit earlier. Make sure you go check out his podcast, Well Cult of Us. Him and Neil, they're very, very funny guys. And Cognitive Vigilance on Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We will not be doing a show tonight if you're listening live, but I think we're going to be doing one like 2 weeks. Brandy's not available this week or next week, so we'll be doing one soon. But yeah, anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed this show. I hope it gave you something to think about. Spread this far and wide, and let's talk about the anti-BDS laws and these laws against anti-Semitism, because it's absolutely insane to me, and especially the fact that like nobody's talking about it. Everybody should be, you know, screaming at the top of their lungs that we're passing speech laws in the fucking United States. So thank you guys so much for listening. If you're watching on YouTube, please give me a thumbs up, subscribe, and leave reviews everywhere you possibly can. It really helps me out. And until next time, guys, thanks so much and take care.
Save big money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save big money.